To the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph, the second Mishnah on the Yamud, Hamotzi Kupas HaRochlim. This is a small kupa that the Mochrei Besavim, those who would, the itinerary, those who would circle around and sell spices in this box, is Afal Pi Sheyeshba Minim Harbe. It has different types of Besavim, different types of fragrant spices. Nevertheless, Eino Chayev Ella Chatas Achas. Since he's carrying one single kupa, one single box, he's going to be chayev for the carrying of that one box, no matter how many different spices are inside the box. Now, these are peddlers. They sell aromatic or perfumed spices to women. The boxes contain smaller boxes. Each smaller bundle has a different spice. The Mishnah teaches us, although he could have been chayev for carrying each single box, but since he carries them together in one big box, he's only chayev for the larger box. And he brings one chatas. The Mishnah continues, if he carries zar'one gina, garden seeds, pachos mikugrogeres, even though these seeds do not amount to a fig's worth, a dried fig's worth, which is normally the shir fotzah, he's going to be chayev. According to the Tanakhama, he's chayev achatos because the seed has the potential to use, you know, as for planting. They're not only used for food, but also for planting. And if it would be for planting, then we have a principle called Meleches Orea is b'mashahu, because of the potential from this seed to grow an entire tree. So again, if he takes out garden seeds, then he's only chayev if the amount is close to at least the volume of a grogeris, of a dried fig, because people don't carry smaller measures of seeds. But it doesn't have to be the equivalent of a grogeris. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, even if he carries five garden seeds, chamisha zeroni gina chayev. And apparently Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira against the Tanakhama, that even as few as five garden seeds are enough. We always see Rabbi Yehuda as the machmir. Okay, this is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, that's not really a proof, but in any event, the measure of five seeds in Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's frame of reference is considered a chashuva masa to carry. And the reason why people, when they plant a row in a garden, they'll plant usually five seeds, five plants. So the five seed minimum, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, will only apply if the volume of five seeds is less than that of a dried fig. If, let's say, the seeds are very large, and five of them are greater than the volume of an agogeres, then the minimum measure would be set at the volume of a agogeres. And this is said according to the rule that whenever you have a choice between, let's say, garden seeds treated like food or treated like seeds, we're always taking the chumrah. And they can always fix the shear of the seeds at a at a smaller volume. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda is doing over here. If the smaller volume is kugogeres, then in that case he'll be chayv for gogeres. And now we turn to Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, which is the last Amud in Perek Chi, in the ninth Perek. Zera Kishuim, if he carries cucumber seeds, Shnayim, he's chayev for two seeds. Cucumber seeds are considered more valuable than garden seeds, and even two of them is a significant masa, and he's chayev. Zera diluim, in the case of gourd seeds, for delas, to produce a gourd, shnayim, once again, all you need is this minimum of two seeds. That's also considered chashuv at two. Zera pol hamitzri, seeds of the Egyptian bean, likewise, shnayim. Chagav chai tahar, if he carries out a live locust that's kosher is kolshu. No matter what its size is, it's a birya, it's a creature unto itself, and even if it's less than a grogeres, it's chash, if it has chashivas. People will store alive locusts, and apparently Rashi says they use it for child's play. I don't know exactly what they did in that time, the sociology, and it's significant of a bird no matter what its size. Mace, on the other hand, if this kosher locust is dead, and it no longer functions as a toy for the children, is therefore, we go back to grogeres, to the classic shear for any food. And now it's food and it's not a plaything because it's gone. The child is not going to play with it. Tzipores krumim, we're talking about birds of the orchards, which is also a different type of a chagav, of a locust, whether alive or dead, ben chay or ben mesa kolshu, the size is always a kolshu. And why? What function would a kolshu of a dead locust be? Obviously, he's not eating as food, because then the shear would be kurgogeres. And the answer is shematznian osol refua. It has some sort of therapeutic power to it, even when it's dead. And you would store it for those purposes for therapy, and therefore that gives it chashivas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af hamotzi chagav chai tomei. The same laws apply to a non-kosher locust. If it's alive, it's a kolshu. And why is that? Shematznian osol lekaton lischok bo. If you're using it only for child's play, then what difference does it make whether it's kosher or not kosher? The Tanakhama apparently holds that you're not chaya for taking out a live non-kosher locust of such a minuscule size, a kolshu. He agrees, the Tanakhama, that the reason one is liable for a live kosher is because people give it to a child as play, but nevertheless, Tanakhama understands that this logic does not apply in the case of a non-kosher locust. You don't give a non-kosher locust to a child. Perhaps he'll eat it. Again, this is back in the day when they ate locusts. The Gemara now is going to expand upon the statement of the Mishnah that in the case of garden seeds, he's chayev only if he carries out something close to the volume of a grogeres. And this seems to be something that contradicts an earlier ruling of the Mishnah. Raminu will ask the following kasha. We have a Mishnah back on Daf Pei, and the Mishnah states that Zevel v'chol hadak, fertilizer or fine sand, the shear of Hotzaz Kedei l'zabel kelach shel kruv. In other words, as long as he has enough to fertilize the stalk of a cabbage, Divrei Rabbi Akiva, v'chachamim omrim, kedei l'zabel kresha. He's only chayav if he has enough to fertilize a leek, L-E-E-K, that's a kresha. In any event, the Mishnah seems to consider something chashuv, even if it could grow from one single seed. The Mishnah on Daf Pei doesn't distinguish between, one seed or many seeds, as long as it's enough to be mezabel akresha, one single kresha. Our Mishnah rules that in the case of Zarune Sod, in the case of garden seeds, it's not significant unless one takes out a number of seeds that equal the volume of Kemat, or a little bit less than, a grogeres. Rav Papa says that you can reconcile the two Mishnayos, Hodizriya, Hodilozriya. The earlier Mishnah is talking about a case of a seed that's already been planted. And how much do you need to fertilize this planted seed when it grows into a leek? For that, a person will go to the trouble of fertilizing even one single growing plant. So he'll take out fertilizer or sand that's sufficient for one single plant, and he's chayav for that. Hodilozriya, but in the case of our Mishnah, he hasn't planted it yet. And therefore, how much how many seeds would a person bother taking out in order to plant l'chatchil l'fisha ein adam toreach l'hotzi nima achas l'zriya. He's not going to bother carrying out a single seed for planting. And therefore, that's not considered chashav. If he's fertilizing a seed that's already been planted, that's a different story. The Mishnah says, Zera kishuim, if he takes out cucumber seeds, shnayim, he needs two seeds. Torah Rabbanah, we learned in Ebraisa, hamotzi gar'inim, if takes out pits, im l'netia, if his goal, his purpose is for planting, and there are some sorts of pits that can be used for planting. It doesn't mean that necessarily right this moment he's going to plant it, but the chashivus of the seed is that such that it lends, of the pit in this case, is that such it lends itself to the function of planting. Im l'achila, but if you're talking about pits that can be fed to animals, for example, but they are not used as seeds, then kimelo pi chazir, then he'll only be chayav if he carries enough pits that could fit into the mouthful of a pig. Now, Jews don't raise pigs, and we're not allowed to do so, but they'll store pig feed to sell it to a guy. And date pits, for example, are pig feed, and therefore they're significant, and they'll bring in some money. And therefore one is chayav for carrying them on Shabbos, but he has to carry around enough of these pits such that it could feed the entire mouth of a pig that eats these pits. Pigs. The kama, and how many pits usually are enough, if you have an average sized pit, in order to feed a chazir, melo pi chazir. And the answer is achas. All you need is one pit. Im lahasik, the Mishnah says that if the pits are meant for adding them as fuel to a fire, k'dei levashel beitza kala, as long as he takes out enough pits that you can create coals that will be sufficient to cook a shear of an easily cooked egg. The shear would be part of the cooked egg, which would be a fig's worth of the im lecheshben. If, however, he means to use them for a tally, now sometimes, you know, if you want to remember something, so you tally up coins, you know, let each coin represent a certain number. And in the case of date pits, they serve as tokens in order to count up to maintain your memory of what number you're up to, is shtayim. Then you need two pits, because that's enough to justify the chshivas of these two pits that you want to count, in this case number two, and then two could mean 200, could mean 2,000. Acher omer chamesh, he has to take out five pits. Now, generally, people keep up to four sets in mind without resorting to memory aids. At five sets, however, you begin to lose track of the tally, and therefore you employ these tokens, these pits in this case, to represent the sets of five. Now, these pits are rarely needed in less than groups of five. So the svara here of the Acherim, which we assume to be Rabbi Meir, is not the svar that we thought would be very convincing, namely that the number two could be indicative of many, many different sets, 20 sets, for example. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, Motzi Shnei Nimin, if a person carries out to Rosh Hashanah two hairs, Mizanav Hasus, from the tail of a horse, Umizanav HaPara, or the tail of a cow, Chayef, all he has to do is carry two hairs. Why? What are you going to do with these two tail hairs of either a horse or a cow? Shematznino son linishbin. Now, what are nishbin? Nishbin are kind of like traps. So you store as little as two hairs to make traps or nets, let's say. So these nets we use to trap birds, small birds. Miksha shal chazir, if he carries, let's say, the hairs of a pig, and the word miksha means Brussels that grow on the pig's spine, not on the tail, and the word miksha means they're tough, you know, these are bristles, these are hard, is then achas, all he needs is to take out one bristle, and these are used to attach to sort, like maybe we could call them brooms and stuff like that, or perhaps you can attach it to a cord for stitching purposes. And then Tzurei Dekel, if he takes out peeled Dekel, palm fronds, all he needs to take out is these palm leaves, the two of them, and they're used for weaving baskets. And when we talk about Arigo, we'll talk about something called heddles, and all you need is two heddles. So the minimum shear in liability for these kinds of Tzurei Dekel, which we said are palm fronds, is two fronds. Now, the leaves of palm trees are sometimes covered with hairs or spines, or in some cases with an undercoating of wax. They must be scraped or peeled before using it for basket weaving. And finally, at the end of this price, so we have Tzurei Dekel, palm vines. Achas, he's chayav for taking out one single vine. And we're talking about strips of woody material that are taken from the vines that grow on the base or the roots of a palm stem. They wrap themselves around the tree. They're thinner than peeled fronds that we discussed above. And the question is, what are we using for them? Meiri explains that they're used as switches in working with beasts. One switch is deemed a significant burden. The language of the Meiri himself, he says in the name of Yesh Mefashu, Roy Lahakos Boas Abehema. Shemitoshu Lach, it has a certain moisture, Eno Nishbar. So this, according to the Meiri, is the purpose of Tzurei Dekel that are moist and can be used as a stick, Lahakos Boas Abehema. Now the Masifta quotes the Piskei Harid, that it's Roy Litfer Bo P Delas Yevesha Ktana Shoshosim Ba Yayin. So we're talking about some sort of a basket or so that's dry, very small, and can be used for drinking wine. And that's what you do with these chitim ovim, these thick, kernels of Tzurei Dekel that grow and surround the entire date palm. Now the Gemara wants to get to Tzipores Krumim. So we're talking about a bird that flies around the orchards, Bein Chayav Bein Mesa Kolshu, who, whether he carries one that's alive or dead, he's Chayav. And apparently people use it for therapeutic purposes. Mai Tzipores Krumim, what is the bird of the orchards? Omer Rav Palya Bieri. So if we didn't know what Tzipores Krumim refers to, what kind of bird, now we know. It's clearly a Palya Bieri. Okay. Well, now the Gemara is going to describe this creature called a Palya Bieri. Rav probably had no need to describe it. He knew exactly what it was and what therapeutic use it could have. Omar Abaye, Umishtakach Bidikla Dechad Nevara, and this is a locust. Interesting. We thought it was a bird. Now we're finding out it's a locust, and it's found in a young palm tree, and it's wound about with a single vine. So we're talking about a Dikla Dechad Nevara, and this vine, which is a single vine that winds around a young palm tree, apparently it attracts a certain kind of a locust. So Rashi says that in a young palm, around which there's only one single vine, that has had time to grow. So the locust comes to attack a young palm tree. And how do we know it's young? Because it only has one single vine. The Aruch says that this is a species of palm that sprouts only a single bud at the tip of its stem. In any event, this species would be found in Palya Bieri. So Palya Bieri now becomes a location. You know, we started thinking it was a bird, then we thought it was a locust, bird, plane, what is it? It turns out to be a location. And that's where you'll find this bird. And that's what Mishtakach means. And then it says, V'ovdi Leila Chuchma. And it has a specific ability to generate wisdom, which literally means to open one's heart so that the heart could acquire wisdom. L'ftach es halev l'divrei chachma. So again, we're talking about the tzipores kramim, whether it's alive or dead, and it's a kol shehu, and it's found in Palya Biari, where you find this dekel that has one nevar around it, and it's used for chachma. Achile lepalga diamina. If he eats half of the right side, now we're going to focus on, you know, which side he's going to eat, and now we're talking about eating the right side. Let's see. So Palga de Smole, let's see the whole picture. He says if it's the left side, left hand, then the left half is Rami La Begufsa de Nechasha. You know, you throw it into a copper tube, that presumably means to get rid of it. The chasim lane, you have to seal it, the shitin gushpanke, with 60 different seals to seal it up, to close up the tube, one on top of the other. You know, pitch, wax, earth, 60 means a large amount of times. Vitolile be a vara de smola, and he hangs it up on his left arm. Vitolile be ivra de smola, he puts this kane around his, he attaches it to his left arm, v'simonach, and to remember this, on which zroah he should put it, is the pasuk, lev chacham limino, v'lev ksil lismolo. So the ksil, the fool, who needs badly to open up his heart to wisdom, he should put the kane on the left side, because the left side, you know, has that part of the chagav, of the, this of, I don't know if it's Torah, Tomei, anyway, it's in that reed, v'chachim kama deboi. And then he has the potential to achieve chachma. V'gomar kama deboi, and he can study as much as he wants. V'ochale li'idach palga, and he eats the other half. So now, which half is he eating? Because he started by eating the right half. Now, after he achieves this whole goal, and he's, you know, sealed it up in a copper tube, and he has put 60 different types of seals on it, and he's attached it to his left arm. At this point, he's ready for chachma, and therefore he can eat the second half. The ilo, if he doesn't eat the second half, is mi'akir talmud. Whatever he learns, he's going to forget. So this is something that's valuable. This Palya Biari, this Tziporis Akramim, as a way of achieving wisdom. And if you follow the instructions, I'm sure you'll be a great Talmud Chacham and a genius of geniuses. But in the meantime, we're only interested in Hotzah, and he's chayav for Kol Shehu. Rav Yehuda Omer, Af HaMotzi Chagav Chai Tomei. The shear of kosher applies even if this chagav is alive, but it's a non-kosher chagav. V'tanakav esavar, lo. That if you have a chagav, some sort of a locust, a creeper, that is tame, then we're not going to play with a child with it. And therefore, it doesn't have the shear of a kosher. Well, my timer, why don't we give it to a child to play with, he says, Choshen Dilma Ochile. Maybe the child will come to eat it, and it's a non-kosher locust. Again, this has to be reconciled l'chor with the sugya in Yevamos on Daf Kuf Yudalid, and the sugya speaks about a kat nochel nevelos ein bezdu mitzuvim lafrisho. But nevertheless, everybody agrees that also lachilo be a dime. You're not allowed to actively give non-kosher food to a child. And the Gemara tells us in a brisa based on a pasuk of lo sachlum in the parasha of Achila Shrotzim, and this pasuk is apparently superfluous. The Chazal derived from this pasuk lo sachilum lahazir gedolim alaktanim, and you'll see this at the beginning of Parshas Emor with regard to Tumas Kohanim. So we're not allowed to be machil nevelus biyadayim. And I guess once he gives the chagav over to the child to play with, then that's considered like he's machil biyadayim, even though he's not putting it into his mouth, he puts it into the child's hands. So Gemara asks Akashi, Hochi, if we have to be choshesh that the child will eat this nachash, is tar nami. Why? Because even though a chagav does not need shechita, but you don't eat it while it's alive because of the isur of Eivim Nechai. So in any event, we have to wait until this locust dies in order to allow eating it, even if it's a tar that belongs to a kosher species. And not only that, there might be another isur of Bal Tishaktzu. Now it seems from Tosvis and others that if you eat a chagav chai that's kosher, you don't violate the isur Eivim Nechai. And that's part of the din of Eino Torah and Shechita, that it says in the pasuk in Vayikra Yud-Alef, Zos Torahs HaBehema VeHa'Of V'Chol Nefesh HaChayor Omeses B'Mayim L'Chol Nefesh HaSharetz Al Oretz, and the Chazal Dash called Nefesh HaChayor Omeses B'Mayim Elu Dogim L'Chol Nefesh HaSharetz Al Oretz Eizu Chagovim, and Chagovim are written in the parasha right after Dogim to teach us that just like the din of Dogim is that they don't need Shechita, so too Chagovim don't need Shechita. Hence, there's no Iser of Eivim Nechai in the case of Chagovim Tahorim. But there is an Iser to eat it Chai Mishum Bal Tishaktzu. So Gemara says, the Ha Rav Kahana Vikoyim Kaimi Derav. Rav Kahana was in the presence and studying in front of Rav. Vahavi koma abar shoshiva apume. He took a chagav tar over his mouth. Omali and Rav stopped him. Shkoli, take it away. Tolo lemru mechel kochle, lest somebody think that you're about to eat a live chagav. V'ka'over mishub al tishaksus nafshos seche. So aren't we afraid that the child, if you give him this live chagav to play with, he might eat it and violate Bal Tishaktzu? Ella, so therefore the Gemara says that the reason why we don't give a chagav tomei to a katan is for a different reason, because choshishin dilma moyis v'ochile. Dilma moyis v'ochile. Which means that Tanakam is afraid that maybe the locust will die and the child will eat it after its death. So therefore we cannot give a live non-kosher locust to a child to play with, because in event that this non-kosher chagav will die, then the child will, chas v'shalom, transgress the prohibition of eating non-kosher food. So people, therefore, will not store non-kosher locusts because they won't give it to their children to play with, and therefore he's not chayev unless he brings out a full measure. And if that be the case, then in the case of a chagav tahar, why aren't we afraid of Bal Tishaktzu? The Gemara doesn't give us an answer right now. We'll have to research that. and the whole Iser is that it might die and it'll eat it, and therefore we differentiate between a kosher locust and a non-kosher locust, according to the Chacham Tanakam Rav Yehuda, who allows giving a live chagav, even though it's tummy, to a katan, and therefore you chayev a kolshu if you carry it. He's not afraid that this locust might die and the child might eat it. Why? Because the imois, if heaven forbid, chagav dies, then katan mispad sofitle. He's going to make a hesped for this gishtarbina locust. He's not going to eat it. Is hajon alecha omer Rabbi Akiva. Now the next perek, which is perek haMatznia, is going to complete our discussion about the Shiurim of Hotzah that we began in the previous Prakim. And the Gemara, the Mishnah is going to enumerate, and the Gemara is going to embellish those Chiyuvim of Hotzah that apply even in Pachos Mikashir. And once the Mishnah gets into that, it's going to branch out into inyanim acherim, into other areas about meleches hotzah, that sometimes you chayv hotzah, sometimes you potter from hotzah. For example, it depends on where you bring it, to which place you machnes it, and in what way you carried it. So we'll get into different ways of methods of hotzah. Okay, fine. Hamatznia lezera v'ledugma v'lerfua v'otzio b'shabes chayev. So we're talking about three cases here in the Reisha of the Mishnah. And in all three cases, he's going to be chayev for less than a grogeris. Number one is the case of zera, which means seeds for the purpose of planting. Number two, ledugma, he stored a small amount of substance to use as a sample to show prospective buyers. Ulefua, finally, something that's therapeutic and he needs it for medicine. Otzio chayev. And he's chayev a kolshu. We don't need a shear of a grogeris. V'chol adam, let's say somebody is not interested in seeding or in making samples for prospective buyers, he's not interested in the refua, is then ein chayov in ella olav ella b'shiuro kishiuro. He's got to be motzi a full grogeris. So we have here a subjectivity here. Now let's add the following. So Reuven sets it aside to carry it out, and Shimon was the one who actually carried it out. Shimon is not chayv chatas. In other words, we're not looking at these seeds, etc., from the perspective of the person who actually stored them, but rather we're going to use the objective shiurim that were put forth in previous prakim in this mesecta, the smallest amounts that are commonly used for various objects and so forth and so on. So it means that the rule is going to be the classic, meaning the rove, and we assume, unless we know otherwise, that the individual belongs to that rove, and his disposition, his purpose is like that of the common person. But if we know that he stored it for the following purposes, let's say seeds for planting, or small substances that he uses to dye things and make a sample, or for medicine, then he's chayv even for a smaller amount. Chazar v'chniso, in other words, let's say the person had actually stored this very, very small quantity, and now he brings it back in from the Rishus HaRab, me'eno chayv el b'shi'uro. So as far as the Otzah is concerned, he'll be chayv at a mashu, because he needs the mashu. But when he brings it back, now if he brings it back, presumably he's changed his mind. He's decided against planting the seed. So now, he has taken himself out of the exception and put himself out in the general rule. He belongs to the membership of the general public, and therefore he's not chayev for transferring anything less than the shear that applies for everyone, because he changed his mind. And the Gemara asks about the Lashon HaMishnah, Lomali Lemistei HaMatznia, Lisnei HaMotzi Lezera. What's the emphasis here on storing the minimum shear? Why not talk about carrying the minimum shear? And Ula Dugma Vilarfua. It could have just said that instead of Hamatznia, it could have said Hamotzi Lizera, Hamotzi Lidugma, Hamotzi Lirfua. Chayv Kolsh. Amar Abaye wants to justify the language of the Tana, and Enochinami, one who takes out and carries any of these objects for the purpose mentioned in the Mishnah, he'll be chayev, even if he hadn't stored it previously. But Hochmayas Kinen could go chitznia, v'shochach lemahitznio, v'hashtiko mapik le'stoma. He had a definite machshava initially when he locked it up and stored it. He wanted to use it to plant a seed, for example, or fua, etc. And now he forgets exactly why he stored it, but he takes it out. And now we have a din of mistama. Though when a person has a definite machshava, even if later he doesn't have any definite machshava, he's like empty-headed, then we assume that his stama should be identified and defined based on his original machshava. And that's the gewaldige chiddush of our Mishnah. So even though he forgot about his original intention for which he stored the seed, nevertheless, since he chose to take the seed from one reshus to another, and he sets it down now in a reshus harabin, then he's bechayev based on his original matzniya, his original intention when he stored it. And now we're on daf tzadi aleph amud aleph. Ma'od the same I might have thought. Batule Botlo Machshavto, that his original intent is now Botel, it's nullified, null and void. Kamash Malon, our Mishnah says that Stoma, an empty kind of a head, meaning if he doesn't have specific purposes in mind, then it's not Mavatel. And we assume that if he has no definite new plans or goals or agendas, then Ha'osel Das Rishonu Ose, it's considered to be a hemsheikh of his original thought. And this, my friends, is relevant as a principle in many different areas of halacha. Like, for example, whenever we find Lishma, so a person sits down and writes a get, and he's writing it L'shem, the Baal, the Isha, he doesn't have to have that Machshava the whole way around. A similar thing will be in Lishma and Sefer Torah. And possibly even in his kavanah tefillah. And that maybe that's why the first bracha requires kavanah. And now the rest is sort of is an outgrowth of the original kavanah. So in the Havamina we thought that if he transfers one seed, a kolshu, that's not significant, because the original intent was not accompanied by a second intent. But Kamash Malon, that when a person transfers the item, we have to assume it's congruent with his original intention when he stored it, unless he says explicitly to the opposite. And his original significance that he gave it, and he stored it for that purpose of seeding, now even if he doesn't have any definite recollection, maybe in his latent awareness he's aware of it, that's enough for him to be chayev. And now we're up to Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, on the third line down on Tzadi Aleph, Omid Aleph, and Amir Tz Hashem, we'll cover that in the next shiur.